Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey team, just Dave here at the start of the episode to tell you that we have just put on sale a fundraising show on February the 20th at Howler in Brunswick in Melbourne. It's just a couple of weeks away, and we are teaming up with our good friends at Sans Pants Radio, and the show, it's raising money for Wildlife Victoria because, I don't know if you know, but Australia's been devastated by bushfires at the start of this year. Some of them are still going. We've lost hundreds of millions of native animals, and we decided to come together with our podcasting buddies and put on a one-off show just to raise some money. And basically how the night works is they're going to do a live Plumbing the Death Star, which is one of our favorite podcasts, and they'll have some guests on that, and then we have a little break, and then we'll come back and have a game show hosted by myself and Jackson Bailey from Sans Pants, and it is Planet Broadcasting versus Sans Pants Radio. So there'll be a lot of podcasters there. You'll see Claire Tonti, Mr. Sunday Movies, Nick Mason, Jess and Matt will also be there facing off against the team from Sans Pants. And it's all in the name of a good cause. So if you are interested and you can make it in Melbourne, the tickets are on sale now and there is a link in the description of this episode. So come along, see us trying to feed each other in for podcasting glory and all the while raising money for Wildlife Victoria. All right, cool. On with the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki and I'm sitting here with Jess Perkins and a man that may sound a little bit like Matt Stewart.
What do you mean a little bit? I reckon I feel silly like Matt Stewart. Oh, I said that word wrong. I said silly when I meant sound.
Okay, we're going to play a little game with the listeners, and that is one of us has been drinking, but we won't tell you which one.
Yeah.
And you
can Yeah, great. That's perfect. One of it, so it's 12 hours after one of us has been drinking. 12 hours! Like a moron has been drinking for 12 hours. Honestly, no one obviously has been drinking for 12 hours. Let's figure out who has been doing it.
Hey, who hasn't had any lunch or dinner today but 14 plus beers?
Okay, thank God. All right, great. That'll make it easy for listeners. All right, Jess, say a word.
Banana.
Okay, Dave?
Grapefruit.
Okay, Matt. Oh, no, you fucked it up. Bananas.
we just wanted, we just needed Matt to speak at the start so to confirm he is here. He still hasn't missed an episode.
Yeah, that's right. He's really doing this not because he wants to, but because he feels like he has to.
Has to.
But the beauty of it is the 49ers lost. So not only am I here, but I'm also a loser.
Again.
So it is. We're recording the day of the Super Bowl, which is the day before, no, a couple of days before this comes out, and Matt got up and it was about 9 a.m. kickoff for Melbourne time.
Yeah, it was, well, I was there, 9 o'clock, had a beer. And,
all right, so you got to have pre-drinks for the 10 a.m. Yep, kickoff.
But it was a 10:30. It felt weird when I had a beer, and I'm like, well, at least I'll have time for a nap. Somehow I missed the nap. And I've been drinking for like 14 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. Anyway, I cannot wait to sit quietly as one of you two tells an interesting story.
Just want to flag that there is a couch in your office and he's got that bin.
That is the sound of a bin.
Okay.
Which is half full of trash. But if one of us, we won't say which one, needs to vomit, they will be using that bin.
So one of the three of us has been drinking since 9 a.m. this morning, about 14 hours ago.
12. It's 9 p.m.
Is it 9 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay, so 13 hours. Well, actually, one of the three of us is probably fine.
You can't do maths.
Is that not right?
It'd be great if you got the ability to
from
do maths nine,
better. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay.
So same time
17
zone.
17 hours.
Okay.
Well, one of us will sit here. I cannot believe how similar your jumpers are. Am I lost my plot?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, I'm going to quietly sit back here because I'm the one who's sober here today.
Before you do, could you explain how this show works?
Oh, okay. I'd love to know.
Oh, well, so okay. Much. Well, one of the three of us watches the Super Bowl.
Every week.
And the other two, one of the other two researches a topic and one of the other three knows what that topic's about. And then one of those four or five understands what's going on and they ask a question that brings us onto the topic. And one of us will do it now. It won't be me because I've been the sober one. And one of the other three or four will ask the question and that'll get us onto the topic and we'll all have a good time.
Yeah,
here
great.
We go.
Cannot wait for the plot twist where at the end of the episode I reveal that I've had 16 beers. He sounded fine.
Yeah, he sounds normal.
Yeah, I can't wait for that too because it was actually Jess Pop Perkins.
Jess Pop Perkins.
But I've secretly also been drinking all day, just haven't told you. I drove here. That's not a good idea. Never drink and drive. Matt definitely did not do
that. Why is the studio spinning?
Oh, boy. All right.
Now, it is Jess's turn to do her topic, so she's going to ask a question to get us onto that topic. I don't know what it is. Matt might have somehow gotten drunk and worked out what it is.
Yes, it is 72.
When he's drunk, he's telepathic.
He's been drinking for 72 hours.
It's amazing. Okay, my question is, which former spy is credited with introducing French cuisine to America?
Why are you asking gibberish? It's Queen Elizabeth II.
A French spy. Are they French?
No.
They brought it back with them.
They brought French cuisine to America.
Oh.
Is it Garçon?
It's not Garçon.
Is it Guy Fieri?
No.
Ooh, is it
Anthony Bourdain? I'm trying to think of American chefs. That's the only two I know.
Yeah. Who else is a chef?
Female?
A female chef? Good.
Donna Hay.
No.
Donna Summer.
What about the name Julia Child?
Oh.
I have heard it.
I've vaguely heard of that.
Julia Child is a spy?
She was.
In the 80s?
No. No, absolutely not, no.
What was she spying on? George Michael while he was making his Wham album. She was a spy in the studio reporting back.
Dave, can you sing a little bit of a Wham song? Because I know you're a big Wham hand. You're a Wham head. No, enough gibberish. Can you sing a Wham song?
If I'd had a few more beers, I'd be even better at it.
Wake me up before you go-go. Leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up before you go-go. Take me dancing tonight.
I want to feel high. I want to
Oh, it's a great track.
Yeah, great track.
One of the best of the 80s. And, of course, Donna Hay was reporting from in the studio. Julia Child is her code name.
Yeah, it's weird because Donna Hay's spy name was Julia Child. And Julia Child's was Donna Hay. Isn't that not crazy?
Wow, I can't keep up.
It's crazy. I don't know how.
That is crazy.
So I actually don't know anything about this topic at all.
Well.
What are you even talking about?
I absolutely forgot to look at who has suggested it. So I'm just going to look up now.
I reckon Donna Hay.
Donna Summers. Take me down.
George Michael.
Shabow.
It's only been suggested by one person.
A what?
That
means it's a bad topic.
From Niall, from Melbourne.
A lot of pressure on Niall then.
But it has been voted on by the Patreon.
Okay.
And it was a pretty tight race. I think it only won by a few votes. But still, the Patreons have spoken.
They're never wrong.
And I put up a bunch of like famous people and I said, like, who do you want to hear more about? What kind of biography do you want to hear? And they chose Julia Child.
Over Donna Summers.
I know.
Which other disco queens did they beat?
So,
good question.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
That's not disco.
Okay.
Honestly, when you said which spy, I thought you were going to say which Spice Girl. My brain.
That's what I. That
did you go there too?
What I think that must have been.
And the answer is always
which former Spice Girl.
Sporty Spice, always the best.
No.
I wanna
really wanna zig.
Now, please tell me about this topic, Jess.
Well, Julia Carolyn McWilliams was born in Pasadena, California in 1912, a good year. Her father, John, was a prominent land manager, and her mother, also Julia, was an heiress to the Western Paper Company. Even prior to founding the Western Paper Company.
The Western Paper
Weston, Company. Like Weston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the surname, that's why. Yeah. So even prior to founding the company, Julia's grandfather, Byron Curtis Weston.
Oh, what?
Byron Curtis Weston.
That's the kind of guy that starts a company and you go, all right, I'm following
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
because that's the name that goes down in history.
I'll have all the stocks you got. He was already born into an extremely wealthy family. So Julia's upbringing was a very, very comfortable one. She was the oldest of three children, very reasonable number of children. You know?
You just think that's the perfect number in any
I think ways? So, yeah.
Three children?
Yeah, but I'm weird with numbers, aren't I?
Why not an even number? Of
four.
Yeah, ten.
Two
have
or four.
Ten or have nothing. Two. Two or four or
two
one.
Two or four. No, not one. Three. Not one. Sorry to all the other children
you got
out
a
there.
Problem with them,
you're all dicks. There, I said, somebody needed to tell you because your parents won't. Your parents
aware.
Are like, you're an angel. Oh, we love you so much. Here, have all the money. Fuck you and work for it, you little turds. Learn to share. Anyway.
Yeah, work for it. Unlike these three people born as the children of an heiress who is the daughter of another heiress.
So she has, Julia has a younger brother also called John after their father and a younger sister named Dorothy. In her autobiography, From Julia's Kitchen, she wrote about a time that her parents took them on a holiday to Tijuana in 1925 or 1926, somewhere around there. So she would have been about 13 or 14.
So it was a year-long holiday.
Yes.
Wow, that's a pretty good trip. I mean, if you're that rich, you probably can go on holiday for a year.
But they took them to Tijuana just so they could go meet Cesar Cardini and dine at his restaurant called Caesar's. What's so special about this, I hear you asking, Dave?
Caesar's restaurant, all you can eat.
No, Cesar Cardini.
Is that what was so
yeah,
good about it?
Yeah, it was the first all-you-can-eat.
Wow, they had to travel to Mexico to visit an all-you-can-eat restaurant.
Yeah, imagine.
What a concept.
Now they're on every corner.
Oh, gosh.
Cesar Cardini was an Italian restaurateur, chef and hotel owner who, along with his brother Alex, is credited with creating the Caesar salad.
Wait, hang on. That's notable.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that really? And that's a side note for you. On this report.
Yeah. The family traveled to Tijuana to try a Caesar salad.
Holy.
Imagine living in a world before Caesar salad.
But imagine living in a world where it's not before Caesar salad. Caesar salad exists, but you know what it is, but you can't get it.
Yeah, and you can't
you
just make it yourself.
You have to travel to get it. Wait, figure out what it is and make
can
it.
Can one of you, can we take a photo of you two in the same jumper? Because Everyone else is not freaking out like me because you look like you're wearing the same thing.
One is orange and one is pink.
Okay, sorry. I apologize for that.
Now, they're both knits.
If you could explain to the people, what is a Caesar salad? Apart from lettuce and food, what else is it?
Lettuce and food.
A little bit of bacon.
Yeah, bacon. Oh, croutons.
Yes.
Croutons.
Egg.
Okay, a Caesar salad is a green salad of romaine lettuce and croutons dressed with lemon juice, olive oil, egg, Worcestershire sauce, anchovies, garlic, Dijon mustard, Parmesan cheese, and black pepper.
Well, that sounds good. It's a lot. It's nearly all sauce.
Yeah, it's all.
And it's lettuce with a lot of sauce.
90% sauce.
Yeah, it really relies on the sauce.
90% sauce.
Yeah,
and the crunch of the crouton.
Oh,
which is stale
crunch
bread.
Crunch is important.
It's stale bread.
Well, I actually, I actually don't want to sort of take over this podcast right now, but I actually watched a whole season of the Australian Bake Off.
What's that got to do with Caesar
How many
salad?
Caesar salads did they make on that
well,
show?
Well, they did not make any Caesar salads.
Well, how much salad were they baking?
But it was supposed to be, Claire Huberzer.
Yes.
And she said, well, actually, she probably never mentioned it, but one of the chef guys or something.
Bakers.
They said, look at that crunch. And they said that a lot.
Okay.
Look at that, this is a crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel that crunch?
Yeah.
And I went, what the fuck are you talking about? But they said crunch a lot. Feel that crunch.
Okay.
And I believe that that's something to do with cooking. Is that sound
crunch?
Right? Yeah.
I believe so.
I feel that crunch.
I mean, the sale of the bread, the crunchier it is.
Oh. Dave, tell me more about that.
Yeah, Dave. Tell us more about stale bread.
I think you cut into small pieces and they get even more stale.
Okay.
Even faster.
Okay.
Even crunchier. And they get suddenly, but they get to a point, it's like terminal velocity, where they're so crunchy that they start to become uncrunchy.
Why are you even talking? I don't even understand.
Like they go chewy or something.
Yeah, they become, yeah.
That actually sounds stupid what you just said. Jess, could you make some sense of this?
I can't, but I can move on.
Thank you.
That way, maybe that'll shut him up, you know? Well, Dave will stop talking about crunch and shit.
That's all I want.
Me too.
Yeah, sorry that I was the one that derailed that conversation. But they travelled to another country to experience a Caesar salad.
A Caesar salad.
Another crunch.
That is the... That's what they would have said. Tonight, you've taken me to another crunchy.
Yeah, I know. We're all on the same plane.
I think that is the level of opulence. Like for now, if I went to another country to try a new soup, you'd think
Imagine.
That's crazy.
I'm just going to pop over to another country to try a new soup.
Yeah. I've heard Spain's got an amazing new soup. I'm just going to duck over and try.
Imagine. That's a real funny idea.
That's so funny.
That's funny.
But they just had to go to try and Caesar
little
salad.
Little Caesars. Or is it just Caesars?
Caesars.
I've said Little Caesars. That's that chain.
It's not Little Caesars. It's Caesars.
This is regular Caesar.
So anyway, that was just a little tidbit about her life. To give you an idea that she definitely lived a very comfortable life.
Yeah, I love it.
So in 1934, she graduated from Smith College with a history major.
Smith College.
That sounds like it's fake.
Smith College. That's not real.
It is real.
Smith College.
Yeah, it's one of the big ones. You've got Harvard.
It's in your favourite.
Yep.
Massachusetts.
Yale.
Oh, Smith, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
I love Massachusetts.
That's the closest correct you've ever pronounced.
Yeah,
it just takes
good.
16 beers.
I love Massachusetts. Smith College, Massachusetts. Yeah, very good college. I'd love to learn about words over there.
I'd love to learn about apples.
Oh, my
Granny Smiths.
How do you like them, Granny Smiths? Oh, my goodness, please go on.
She said, that's what our show should have been called.
Please go on.
She said that her time at Smith was spent doing theatre, creative writing, and playing basketball. She was famously tall, by the way. She was about 6'2".
People came from Mexico just to see this tall woman.
They were like, whoa.
You make Big Caesar look small.
Stand up. I dare you.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
So 6'2", that is...
6'2".
That's tall.
Especially at the time. This is in like the 30s. And for a woman, that's very tall.
Honestly, if I stood up, I wouldn't even be that tall.
No, you're not that tall. That's a weird way of saying it.
Because I'm shorter than that.
Yeah. If I stood up,
imagine if I stood
it wouldn't
up,
even
I'm
be
sitting
that
right
tall.
Now.
I think everyone pictures us
sitting. Give me a thing to stand on.
No.
How tall is it?
That's a bad idea.
Oh, why I won't stand on it.
Okay.
Because it's not tall enough. I will only stand on a thing that's at least 2 inches tall.
Do you reckon you're 6 foot? Are you 6 foot?
I said at least I'm around 6 foot.
Okay.
I've been measured at 6 foot and I've been measured at just below 6 foot.
Right.
Which God. I think is what we're all about the same, right?
Yeah, I'm 6 foot for sure.
I'm 6 foot two, which is the height.
I'm pretty sure we're all about the same height.
You're definitely taller than us.
But we're all about 6 foot.
We're similar-ish.
We're all human sized.
Yeah, we are all human sized.
Oh, so in the Super Bowl, one of the players in the team I go for.
What's their name?
Surname, Human. No, that's all right.
Because that's funny.
That's funny, but it's not right.
What's her name?
Person. Oh. The surname is on the back of their shirt.
It says Person.
Person. Oh, so there's like a million players in each team. And one of the players on the 49ers is Person. Actually, my name is Person. I cried laughing.
That does sound like the name you put on the back of a like the jersey when you're creating a video game and you need a stand-in name.
Can we get a stand-in name here?
Johnny Person.
Johnny Person. Well, it seems a little silly, but that'll do. Right. Johnny Person. Honestly, you're joking. The Super Bowl had a player called Person today.
Can't control his name. Well, actually, he can. He could definitely change if he wanted to.
No, you're right. He can't control his name. It's out of control. I'm a bit slippery little. Imagine that the guys are trying to catch it. Anyway.
All right. Time out.
Your team couldn't catch shit.
Yep. Time out. Dave, okay. Don't engage. Maddie.
That is actually fair in a lot of ways.
So after graduating from Smith College, which definitely exists.
Smith College.
She moved to Manhattan wanting to become a famous novelist. Okay. She landed a job as a copywriter in the advertising department for a W&J Sloan, which was a prominent furniture and rug store in New York City that catered to the elite, including the White House. So it was like a fancy, hoity-toity business, which, funnily enough, went bankrupt in 1985. We only deal with the absolute elite. We're out of money.
What year are we talking about now?
When she graduated from
Smith Person College.
So it would have been 1934? So it's the 30s. So in 37, she returned to California to help look after her mother who was sick and passed away at the age of 60. And Julia stayed close to home for a couple of years, writing for a few local publications and working in advertising.
Do you get the feeling that she's inherited quite a lot of money from this heiress?
Good point. I'm not sure about...
I suppose if it was her father still alive, maybe we'd go to him.
Yeah. What happened with her dad? Not sure, but like they're very comfortable, and she's working anyway. But then World War II happened, and Julia wanted to do her bit, so she attempted to enlist in the Women's Army Corps or the U.S. Navy's waves, like the Women's Navy. But she was rejected because she was too tall.
Really?
Yeah,
I felt that.
I believe that they're
felt that personally.
Australia, when they first wanted people, I think it was the First World War, they wanted people as a certain height. Soldiers, but as the war went on and they became more and more desperate for
like
people,
anyone.
They kept lowering it. Like, you know, it's 180, then it's 170, then it's like
very
150.
Much a novelty ride sort of thing.
The police used to be like that, though. They used to be, I mean, maybe there still is a height requirement, but they've lowered it a lot. It used to be quite tall.
Do you think there's a maximum police?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like they're like, you're 7 foot.
You're actually too tall, Hightower.
We do not have pants for you.
We do not have a convertible. You can't fit in the car.
You actually, those sound effects you're making with your mouth, they're too much.
Yeah, they let him in, but they don't let someone tall in.
Michael Winslow.
You're Winslow. Yeah, that's fun.
So she's too tall.
The original man of a thousand noses.
The OG.
Your sensei in many ways.
He's in so many ways my sensei. Yeah,
he's taught you everything you know.
Yeah, because you say sensei, and you probably think of that as like a word, but to me that's a noise. Ah, sensei.
In a lot of ways, all words are noises, aren't they?
Oh my God, you get it.
Yeah. It's really quite poetic.
Honestly, Jess, you don't sensei.
So she's rejected because she's too tall. So she joins the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, which was the predecessor for the CIA, basically. She starts out as a typist in the Washington headquarters for the OSS, but it wasn't long until her experience and education set her apart from her peers and she was given more responsibility.
Her first responsibility is getting stuff off really tall shelves.
Julia, could you give me a hand?
Could you fetch me that thing?
What do you bring that no one else does? Height? Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
See that jug up there? Yeah. I can get that. Yeah. I don't even need to go find a sturdy chair to stand on.
Yeah, I can get it straight away.
I could get a non-sturdy chair.
And just put it down, but I still don't need to stand on it.
Yeah. Could you get it?
Could you get
it tall? Because you don't even need a chair.
Yeah, I'll go get the unsturdy chair, I guess. I don't know. It's a weird request, but all right.
But she proved herself.
She proved herself. And so she's working as a top secret researcher working directly for the head of the OSS, General William J. Donovan. While she's working for the OSS, she was instrumental in a very weird invention.
Okay. The banjo. I love this.
Ding, 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 ding.
She created that riff.
Yeah, she did actually. This is from history.com. Shark attacks were actually quite rare.
Shark attack.
Only 20 had taken place in less than 3 years of wartime, but frenzied media accounts had bred panic among frightened men. Morale was low. There was another reason to find a way to detract curious or hungry sharks. On some occasions, American naval explosives had been accidentally set off by inquisitive sharks, mistaking them for a snack. So they decided they needed to work out some kind of shark repellent. So two men headed this investigation. There was Captain Harold J. Coolidge, who was a scientist from the Harvard Museum of Comparative Zoology, and Dr. Henry Field, who was the curator of the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago. So all throughout 1943, Julia was Coolidge's executive assistant, and she was working closely on this project as well. And over the course of a year, they experimented with over 100 combinations of ingredients to try and make a shark repellent.
Like a spray or
punch it in the nose.
Punch it in the nose.
Punch it in the nose. Batman told us that.
It's just a glove on a like a propeller thing.
Oh my gosh! I wish people could see podcasts because you just did it.
Yeah.
If there was a shark there,
it's fucked.
You got him.
I got that shark.
That shark's fucked.
And that shark goes, ow! Oh,
no.
You know when you get hit in the nose and it's sort of that like your eyes are watering and it just
that
stings?
That happened the other day. A shark hit me in the nose.
What?
Yeah, it was the worst.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
I lied. It wasn't a shark, but it was a shark-like person.
Okay.
Was their name person?
It was Dave.
It was Dave. Yeah, Dave did punch you in the nose the other day. But you deserved it too. You were being a sassy little bitch, weren't you?
I did do it. I did. I was about to bite him on the butt.
And he punched you. Punch on the nose. So anyway, they're working on all these different combinations.
What's going on?
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. The final recipe was a mixture of copper acetate and black dye, which together gave off a smell rather like a dead shark, which I would have thought would attract...
They'd be like, sweet.
Free meat.
Free meal.
But for some reason it worked. It wasn't perfect. Apparently the success rate was a little over 60%, but it was better than nothing, and it kept sharks away for about 6 to 7 hours per dose. So it meant sharks weren't...
So do you have to give it to the shark, or do you put it in
so
the water?
No, so they would put it like... They would sort of attach it to the explosive... that they were planting in the water because it was designed to like set traps for enemy and stuff.
So they give you enough time to run to, you know, sail away.
Exactly.
Sail away. You glad I'm here?
Oh, yeah. I'm always glad you're here.
That's that is actually very nice of you to say.
Will you message us a lot tomorrow apologising? Probably.
No.
Probably.
I'm going to make you listen back. I'm going to make you listen back to this episode.
Yeah.
I will never listen to this.
That is your punishment.
I will not listen to this.
You have to listen back.
I will look at this bucket next to me.
You just have a look at the bucket.
It's so full of... How is it so full of cups already?
That's other podcasters that have drunk too much have vomited into little cups and then put it in the bin.
Yeah. So keep it in the little cup, please. In an interview decades later, Julia said, I understand the shark repellent we developed is being used today for downed space equipment, strapped around it so the sharks won't attack it when it lands in the ocean. Apparently they might still be using it. I don't know if that's true.
How would they do that? Every bit of equipment has one of these shark things attached to it.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so she's working for the OSS. In 1944, she's posted to Kandy in what is now Sri Lanka.
Okay, a lot of what you've said is gibberish. The OSS, Kandy. Mm-hmm. Can you explain any of it?
Sri Lanka? Never heard of her.
She gets sent to Sri Lanka.
Yeah. What's OSS? You've explained it.
The
precursor to the CIA.
Yeah, it's right. Like the CIA.
And Kandy, I know that. That's a place in Sri Lanka.
What is now Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka's what a great place.
Well, Julia liked it.
Mm. I love Sri Lanka.
Very great.
Love Sri Lanka.
Mm.
That's sick. All right, I'm loving it. Great. I can't wait to hear more.
Well, her responsibilities there included registering, cataloguing, and channeling a great volume of highly classified communications for the OSS. And she was later posted to China, where she received the emblem of Meritorious Civilian Service. It's the second highest award and medal provided to civilian employees within agencies of the federal government of the United States. So she's like, she's very good at her job.
Right, but based in China.
She's based in China now. And it was while she was working in China that she met a man named Paul Child, who was also working for the OSS. Paul was 10 years her senior. Ooh. By this stage, Julia's in her early 30s. So he's in his early 40s.
Ooh.
But they hit it off. And they married a couple of years later in 1946 in Pennsylvania, obviously after the war had ended. Paul also had a pretty interesting child. He was a pretty childhood. pretty interesting child. He had
What's
a very interesting child.
He had a stick coming out of his arm.
No one did anything about
it. How'd he get there? Dad never asked.
They all look, though.
Interesting childhood. He was a twin. He had a twin brother called Charlie.
That is interesting.
Winklevoss. Was it Winklevoss?
No, it was Child.
Okay.
Charlie Child. That's a bad name.
Yeah, that's
Charlie
bad.
Child. That's bad. He's like, fucked that up.
There's Johnny Person and Charlie Child.
That's terrible.
What's wrong with America?
How are they naming people?
Honestly, if Americans see what you're wearing tonight, I cannot believe it. I wish people could see.
We'll take a picture.
Why are you wearing the same top? They don't even call them tops over there, probably.
It's a good top.
Beautiful tops.
Yeah, we bought them together.
It is weird. Oh, okay. Did you really buy them? No.
But I was with Dave
Jess
when
was,
he bought
that I was about to say Jess was there when in England when I bought this jumper.
Yeah, we
they got shopping. The seal of approval.
Yeah, no, yours is fine. Jess is better. Why have you worn them tonight? Like, especially Dave, you're wearing a slightly worse top than Jess. Why would you do that on the same night Jess is wearing a slightly better top than you?
I think we've both picked tops that we can pull off.
Yes.
I don't think I would look great in...
And I wouldn't look good in that.
Jess looks really nice in that
top. Do you not
top.
Think that I can pull off my, like, 3 years ago San Francisco 49ers top? Is that what you mean by
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's what we mean. We dress appropriately for us.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I didn't know that this would be a loser team this morning when I put it on. I also didn't know that the Australian man on the back of the shirt would not have played a game for quite a few years. How was I to know that this morning?
You went to know. You went to know. That's
the
what yours
plane.
To know.
I've heard since that he's probably not a good guy.
Great.
But that's alleged.
You were wearing his top all day.
I really you think that someone should get you Johnny Person's top for next Super
Bowl. Honestly, how funny is it? There's a player called Person. Honestly, I want that jersey.
Okay.
I want it.
Well, we'll make it happen.
All I want, all I'm saying is I want it. Yeah. Are you saying you'll make
I'm
it?
I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Fuck no, but
Dave,
someone will.
Will you make it
I'll happen? Knit it. Because I only wear knit jumpers.
Then you can look like us.
Well, I'm looking at you. I know you only wear knit and jumpers.
Well, you also like the name Charlie Child.
Oh,
yeah,
Charlie
sorry,
Child.
Which
fantastic.
Is the twin of
Paul Child.
Paul Child.
And the son of Gary Person.
No, their father actually died when they were about 6 months old.
Oh, dear.
This is from an article in Town & Country magazine. It says, Charlie was brawnier, louder, more charismatic and less sensitive than Paul. When they were seven, Charlie accidentally blinded Paul's left eye with a sewing needle.
Oh, whoa, oh, God.
Paul,
wait, what?
Paul never complained about it and managed to earn a black belt in judo, could later drive a car, and taught perspective drawing. So Paul was just kind of like a very chilled out, quiet, reserved kind of person.
And he taught perspective drawing.
Yeah.
And I imagine because obviously having two eyes gives you more perspective.
Exactly, yeah, that's right.
So that's very impressive. But sorry, just to backtrack. I know.
I don't know the details.
No one wants us to talk about it, but I'm so fascinated by being blinded with a needle. That is so awful.
I have no idea.
Matt just spat into a bin. That's how awful that is.
Is that disgusting?
Well, actually, what Jess said was even more awful than me spitting into a bin, which I enjoyed doing.
Charlie was apparently the favoured twin. So their mother's name was Bertha, which is a bad name.
That is actually the most awful thing you've said.
Bertha.
Her name
bad.
Is Bertha Child.
Bertha. Oh, my God!
What did you do on the weekend, Bertha Child? Oh, actually, I did. Twins. I had two.
Oh, my God. I did not even realise. Her name is Bertha Child. I can't even laugh.
I just, we've broken, Jess. It's too funny.
But back then, you can't not take his name.
I know you can't be like, I really, really like this guy, but I'll have
but
to.
But my play. Name would be Bertha Child.
And we lost the Super Bowl, and I can still laugh.
At Bertha Child. Anyway, one of her boyfriends for a while paid Charlie's tuition at Harvard, but he only paid for tuition for 1 year at Columbia for Paul. So Charlie was like sent off to Harvard. Yeah, school's paid for. Don't worry about it. Paul, you can have a year at Columbia.
It does annoy me that you've favoured the one who blinded the other one.
Yeah.
If anything, it should be the other way around.
Yeah, I reckon too.
Which of them can score a touchdown? That's what I'm asking.
Which can? Who can? So, yeah, Paul went to Columbia for a year, and when his money ran out, he worked on ships, at odd jobs, and travelled across the country. For much of the 1920s and 30s, he worked in Italy, France, and the United States as a private shooter and teacher. So he did a lot of travelling.
A private shooter.
Yeah.
A classic job. Mm. We've all had it.
Well done it.
I mean, we've all worked a few months as a private shooter.
In Italy.
Jess, could you explain a little more? Obviously, Dave and I have done it. You've done it.
Yeah.
Could you explain a little more about our years as a private shooter.
Our years. How do you summarise?
I know. I'm sorry. Adventures? Sum it up in a few words.
So sure, you go and live in somewhere nice like Italy or France, and you are hired by an incredibly wealthy family, the parents of which don't really care that much for their children.
Yep.
And so they just hire you to like teach them some basic shit.
Yeah, we've all lived it.
We've all lived it.
We've all shot a few things in Italy.
Yeah, of course we've shot a few things.
So
really.
Have you misheard private shooter?
Wait, can you say, wait, am I mishearing it? What, say it again.
Private shooter.
Okay, I have
thought I said private
multiple
shooter.
Multiple times I've missed. Even when Dave said, have you misheard? When Dave said, have you misheard private shooter? I thought he said private shooter.
So Teuton, boy. Teuton.
I will stop talking now. I will try.
Okay.
I just looked at me like,
will you?
Will you actually? Honestly, I thought Dave said.
Private shooter.
I thought you said shooter.
Private shooter.
And then I thought Dave said shooter when he tried to explain shooter.
Very funny.
Very good.
Honestly. People wind it back. I reckon Dave said shooter.
I said it. I'm reading the report.
Did you say shooter?
No, I said shooter.
Well, I think she said shooter too. Dave, I also think he said shooter.
Anyway.
And so. I also think Dave, as in Jess, said shooter.
Okay.
So this is Paul still travelling.
Yeah, so he's travelling around. He was a very talented painter, poet and writer, and he was known to his friends to have a sophisticated palate. He loved good food, and he introduced Julia to fine cuisine. Before they were married, she'd grown up in a home with a cook, with like help.
Like a chef.
So she'd never learnt to cook. So before they got married, she'd taken some introductory cooking lessons.
Some couscous. Step one.
I've had a little introductory couscous. Yes, go on.
Well, she wanted to be a good wife to her foodie husband. So she went and did some like introductory cooking courses before they got married so she'd be able to, you know, feed him.
I need to do that.
Yeah, you do.
Introductory cookery.
Here's how to make some toast.
I love that.
Do you want to come over to my house? I'll teach you to cook.
Actually, can you?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I genuinely need help.
Okay, so I just saw the message I sent you before, and it said, my Uber driver has mixed feelings about Ned Kelly.
Yeah.
And I do not know what that means. And then Dave goes, can you hear how this Uber driver flip-flopped on Ned? I don't know what that means. I don't remember it. I shouldn't have brought it up. I regret regretting you. And on we go.
I wish we had filmed this, because this is so far 36 minutes of regret fest.
Yeah. It's the most regret fest we've ever seen.
Oh my God.
What do you think I was talking about?
About Nick Kelly?
Yeah.
No idea.
How did that
man.
Come up?
No, you brought that up out of nowhere. And I even, when you arrived here, I even said, what was he saying about Ned Kelly? And you said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
Like, I was the crazy
one.
Well,
this actually sounds like I'm being silly on purpose. And I regret it. Could you edit me out?
No. I wish I could. I really do wish I could.
I wish we could somehow hire a private shooter to come in and take him.
Why would have it an edit? An editor driver talked about Ned Kelly.
So anyway, Paul joins the United States Foreign Services. And in 1948, the couple moved to Paris when the U.S. State Department assigned Paul there as an exhibits officer with the United States Information Agency. I think he was, like, literally setting up, like, art exhibitions and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Right, okay, yeah.
Not 100% sure, but that's what he was, you know, that's what his job title was, and they got to move to Paris. And Julia recalled her first meal in France as a culinary revelation.
Wow, at the airport.
Wow. Their macas is different.
Yeah, this is so weird.
It's
do
so...
not miss your flight, though. Yeah. Not
oh,
worth
don't
it.
Do it. So she described the meal of oysters and fine wine to the New York Times as an opening up of the soul and spirit for me. She's had a whole revelation.
Right.
So she tried a few activities while living in Paris to occupy her time, but nothing really caught her interest.
What was she trying? Well, cycling?
Okay, so here's the thing. Part of my research was watching the 2009 film Julia.
It just occurred to me that that is about this person.
Starring Meryl Streep and, as Paul Child, Stanley Tucci.
Oh my God, the Tooch.
I've never seen the film. So who is Julie?
What happens is in the film and in real life, it's based on a book, this woman working in like a call center like decides to go through Julia's book. Spoiler alert, there's a book that she writes coming up.
Okay.
Coming up.
Actually, I haven't seen the film, so that's actually a bit disrespectful.
But she did move to New York to become a famous writer.
Oh, okay. Dave, thank you for filling me in. Jess.
So anyway, she decides to cook every single recipe in this French cookbook.
Oh, okay. Actually, spoiler alert.
And she had a blog about it, and then later it got turned into a book.
So they're not friends?
No. So what it is like...
Julia actually hates Julia.
Because Julie is in 2002, and obviously Julia is back in...
Who's actually an arsehole?
Julia.
Yeah, I actually think so.
Okay. Do you think so? Because she's like really adored in America, and we've got a lot of American listeners.
Okay, well, is it actually, excuse me,
is this
offensive for me to actually say that one of those two was actually a real problem? Okay, I'm sorry. Is that true?
So 50% chance that it's...
I am actually sorry to tell the truth there, but one of them is a bit
problem.
Of an issue.
For who?
Listeners.
So anyway, the reason that I brought up that
Well, Jess,
movie...
why did you turn your whole body away from me?
I just forgot. I was like, why are we talking about the movie?
What, Jess, honestly, why are you turning your whole body away from me towards Dave?
Matt, just so you know,
I'm not even here.
Just so you know, Matt, as you know, I've recently got a puppy.
Yep.
And they told us that when he's barking while you're eating, what you're supposed to do is completely turn your body away and just ignore him. And eventually he'll get the point and he'll stop barking. Matt, are you getting this point? Are you getting it?
Actually, he's not a puppy. He's a Poochie, which is the name of the actor.
Stanley Poochie.
Stanley Apucci.
Fuck you.
If I remembered his first name was Stanley, that would have really worked.
I am going to...
His name is actually Stanley Apucci. Can you edit out the middle bit? Because that's fun.
If you could email me just this snippet, and we can send it to Matt tomorrow.
I will not listen to it.
Just 10 seconds of you saying Stanley Apucci. You will hate yourself.
I honestly think Stanley Apucci is very fun.
He's great.
I think that might be a meme tomorrow.
Okay. Let's see if you remember it in 10 minutes.
Well, I'm not going to. I don't want to have... No one, don't at me because I don't care.
Anyway, the reason...
But that's fun.
The reason that we brought up the film is because you said, what activities was she doing? And in the film, who knows how...
Activities by Stanley Tucci.
Who knows how accurate that is. But she was trying, like, hat making and she was taking French classes and stuff. I think she'd done that in the States as well. So she had some French, but she was trying to get it better.
And so she wasn't working in the States. So she's got a lot of time to fill.
Yeah, and so she's kind of bored and she's like, I'm not really a stay. They didn't have any children. They got married and she was already in her mid-30s.
And he was older too.
He was older. So they didn't have any kids. So
30s. Honestly, if you're in your 30s, just, I think it's too far gone, isn't it?
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed.
From over here. How far?
Okay, yeah. How long?
6 months. I got 6 months of it being worth living.
It's more.
Seven months.
Well, not quite.
Okay, six and a bit. Is that all right, Dave?
Yes.
You should be on my side here. Help me out.
Sorry.
Honestly, you with the same knits. I cannot believe two salmon knitted weirdos having a go at me.
This is what young people wear.
Yeah. Oh, this is what the kids wear.
Yeah. This is going to be the most tiring episode to listen to.
I'm so sorry. I will not talk anymore.
That's not true.
Also, here we go again. What is this about?
So,
is this about Barbados?
Yeah, it's for Barbados. She's trying to find like something to occupy her time. So she ended up enrolling in the famous French cooking school, Le Cordon Bleu. Cordon Bleu.
Oh, well pronounced.
Wow. No, is that where Cordon Bleu is from?
That's not what I said. Okay. Originally, she was placed in this introductory class for housewives, which she found to be boring and a bit too basic. She's like, all right, I know how to boil an egg.
That's where I need to be.
Yeah, and that's
introductory
fine.
Introductory class.
That's okay.
For housewives.
Yes. Well, they say, this is an oven, and I get out my book and I write down oven.
Okay.
Oh, so what does it do?
It gets hot.
Whoa. Slow down, egghead.
So she's a bit bored in the introductory class. So she's like, can I do something a little bit more challenging, please? And the other, there was like sort of a top tier class where they were like.
Where Heston Blumenthal comes in and says, recreate that. No instructions.
And you're like, what?
Oh, what?
She ended up joining this year long program with 11 other students, all men, that was kind of designed for professional restaurateurs. And under the tutelage of Chef Max Bernard, Julia thrived and developed a passion for food, especially French cuisine. She joined the exclusive women's cooking club, which was called Le Cercle des Gourmets.
Oh, what does that mean? We'll never know.
It's hard to know. But there she met a couple of women, one called Simone Beck, who was writing a French cookbook for Americans with her friend, Louisette Bertol. Sorry about my French. The three women became friends and soon opened up a cooking school together, teaching women to cook French cuisine.
So you're telling me that someone who grew up not being able to cook
has
hoped to be like famous enough as a chef one day that in 100 years people will talk about them on a podcast?
Yeah.
Do I still have time?
You have time. She couldn't cook.
That's really impressive.
She was in her mid-30s before she learned
impressive.
To cook. But yeah, she just seems like a real kind of go-getter. Like she just, and also, you know, like the way it's depicted in the film, the woman who runs the cooking school is like, oh, it's very expensive. You probably can't afford it. And she was like, how much are we talking? Because she's wealthy.
She's an heiress, of course.
Exactly. And I mean, she and her husband are very comfortable. Like they're living in really beautiful houses and stuff in Paris, and they're wealthy.
Damn.
But she was just passionate.
That's all it takes.
And she was dedicated to it, and she was competitive, and like. You know, it shows in the film, and again, it's a fucking film, but they're like all chopping onions in the first class and she's slower than everybody else. So then that night she's just like, there's this massive pile of onions in their kitchen at home because she's practicing. Like she's dedicated to it, Dave. That's what you got to do. You got to stick at it.
Her husband wakes up, why am I crying?
I'm horrendous with onions. I had to
they
get
set
those.
You off.
I had to get like specific glasses that look like Dame Edna glasses, and they're called like onion goggles. And I've got to put them on, and they still don't. Sometimes I wear literal swimming goggles to cut onions, or make Aiden do it. If Aiden's at home, he's in charge of onions. He knows that. He knows that's his job. If he's not home, I'm fucked.
But he can't. He doesn't react.
He's
to them.
Fine. Like he might be a little bit like but as soon as I cut one open, I'm gone. It's very embarrassing. Anyway, so now they're they've opened their own little cooking school, and they're teaching women how to cook, and they only charged a few dollars for classes, which was barely enough to cover the cost of ingredients and equipment. But Juliet was loving it.
And loaded, so it's all good.
So who cares?
Write it off.
After a while, Simone and Louisette asked Julia if she could collaborate with them on their book that they were cooking. They were writing a book. They'd gotten feedback that it wasn't clear enough for an English-speaking audience because they were trying to introduce French cuisine to an American audience. So they needed someone with better English than them.
Oh, right. So they're native French speakers.
Exactly, gotcha. Yes. They're French. So over the next decade.
Did I think about getting Gabrielle Gatto?
Gabrielle Gatte.
Gatto.
My favourite about Gabrielle Gatte, and we've talked about this probably on the show before, I just love how he says potatoes. So you get a potato, you throw in a tomato.
Potato.
Oh, I love him.
It sounds more delicious.
So he is a French.
He is delicious.
Chef that's lived in Melbourne for decades. And he would present Le Taste of La Tour during the Tour de France every year.
What a fucking legend.
But last year was his last year. He wrapped it up. He's retired.
Who will replace him?
He's our Poirot in a lot of ways.
He solved so many crimes.
He's our
crimes against the kitchen.
He's our sous chef.
That's quite good. That's quite good, Matt.
Yeah. Thank you. That's almost something.
You've earned a timeout for that one.
All right. And I'll take it. 5 minutes, please.
So over the next decade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
Decade. The three women researched and repeatedly tested recipes. Child would translate the French into English, making the recipes detailed, interesting, and practical.
10 years.
10 years. This is all while Julia and Paul, fuck it, why can't I talk today, moved around Europe and then eventually back to the States with his work.
But she's still in contact with the other two French women?
This entire time she's working on recipes, she's testing them, and she's obviously developing her own skills too. In 1952, she read an article in a magazine from a writer named Bernard DeVoto about kitchen knives. Not a particularly interesting article, but she wrote to him to compliment him on his piece. She agreed with everything he was saying about sterling steel.
I imagine that he's got hundreds of fan letters up from this article.
Of course. Obviously, Matt's trying to take a photo of us in matching
jumpers. We'll get a good photo, don't you worry.
So anyway, she writes to him to say, hey, loved your piece. His wife, Avis, who also worked as his secretary, responded to Julia's letter, which began a lifelong pen pal friendship. They would write to each other. They didn't meet in person until a few years later in 1954, but they wrote over 100 letters to each other in that 2-year period.
And would she consider her pen pal the husband or the wife?
No, writing? The wife. So she, it happened, like, she wrote a letter to Bernard saying, I like this piece. Avis replies as his secretary, but also happens to be his wife, saying, yeah, thanks, fill it up, yada, yada, yada. They write back and forth, and they just become friends. And it was Avis who helped Julia's book be seen by publishers, Houghton Mifflin, and they said that the book was too long and rejected the manuscript, which was a historical stuff-up on their part. Paul left the diplomatic corps in 1961, and the couple decided to return to the US for good, settling in Cambridge, Massachusetts. You want to have a go?
I love Massachusetts so much. Isn't it so much fun? Because I don't think you're meant to actually say the Chutzits part, but,
but
I love
it's fun
saying
too.
I love saying Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Because I always say Massachusetts, but I don't think you're meant to say it like that. But I
how
love
are you supposed to say
saying,
it, Dave?
Dave, you'll say it properly.
Well, if you
Massachusetts.
Look at it, Massachusetts.
Right.
So
fuck,
only
it's fun
at
to
the
say
end.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Yeah, there's only T's at the end, yeah.
Nailed it.
Massachusetts.
Don't tweet at us. So they move into their new house in Cambridge with little money. And
house
in Cambridge with little money and few expectations.
Right, and at this stage, the book hasn't come out yet.
Book hasn't come out yet.
She's nearly 50 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah. And so in a letter to a friend, she said, we'll be living quite modestly, but I figure if I can give 2 cooking lessons a week at about $40 a throw, that'll bring in a little bit of money for us. So they were living in like quite lavish places around Europe, and now that he's sort of retired, they're kind of like, well, we've got to live a little more modestly now. So to save money, Paul designed the kitchen of their new home himself. And he was mindful that his tall wife had been stooping in their tiny European kitchens.
Oh, of course. I forgot that she's very tall.
She's very tall. And there was a picture that he took in their Paris kitchen, and she's stirring a pot. And, like, it's almost at her knee level. It's so low. I think they were lower in Europe anyway. And she's already quite tall. So he raised the counters up and made, like, a Julia-sized kitchen. And aware of her passion for order, he figured out the perfect place for every pot and pan and drew its outline on a pegboard. So everything had a place, and she liked things hanging up, so there was space everywhere for things to hang. She could see everything. She had, like, so many knives. She loved knives.
Samurai swords.
She loved it. And Julia was feeling a little deflated and a bit defeated by the book rejection. But Avis didn't give up and got the book to a connection she had at a different publishing house, Alfred A. Knopf. That can't be right, but who knows. So finally, the book was published in 1961, and it was 726 pages called Mastering the Art of French Cooking.
Okay. I'm not a publisher, but that is too long.
Right, but I mean, like, they had so many different options, and that's what they went for. Mastering the Art of French Cooking.
700.
I don't mind it. Oh, the book, pages. I was thinking you meant the title.
Oh, no, not the title. No,
pages.
I think that's Mastering the Art of French Cooking. That's good.
I think it was more pages than that when the first publisher rejected it, but still 720. It's a fucking dense book. It's like 500 and something recipes.
Wow. I mean,
it's insane.
And and in the movie, Julie and Julia, or the other, whichever way it is, she cooks them all.
She cooks them all in 365 days.
500.
Keep in mind.
More than one a day.
Some would be stuff like sauces or gravies.
90% of them are sauces.
Or, yeah, but there's like a huge chunk that is. Or like different ways to cook eggs. Or they'd be desserts. So she might do like a main and a dessert. She might be able to knock out 3 in a day.
Is there a page on how to make gravy?
Probably.
Oh, my goodness.
But I don't think.
I want to read this book. That sounds great.
I don't think they would say a dollop of tomato sauce.
For a little sweetness and that extra tang. Give my love to Angus.
And a Frank and Dolly.
They say how to make jus.
Yeah, it would be lots of that as well. So, I mean, obviously it must be doable because she did it.
It's
got to
be doable.
So, but
and
so
was that her full-time job? Like, did she work or anything else, this lady, when she was doing 500 recipes in a year? She was working.
So
God,
she was
impressive.
Working. This is 2002, and she was working. I can't remember the name of the organization, but she was on the phone speaking to people about the redevelopment of Ground Zero and insurance claims from people who'd lost families in there. It was a really harrowing and awful job.
Mm.
And so as a bit of an escape, she was cooking.
Okay, Jess, I just need to... I apologize and I'll not talk for a while again after, and you'll understand why in a moment.
Love this preface.
But you're saying it's doable, but is it... Why is it doable?
Are you trying to say jeu?
Damn it.
Why was it jouable?
Yeah.
I thought you were definitely going to whip out your Alistair Trumbo Birchall impression.
That's doable.
That's doable.
That was good.
Oh, so when I watched the Super Bowl today, and I won't talk after this, but there was this ad that came up a bit where, and everyone's like, hey, it's your mate. And I'm like, and it was a guy who kind of looks like Alistair.
Oh.
Is Alistair on a... At the
Super
moment?
Bowl ad? I don't think Al's on Super Bowl.
Where he's like standing in a swamp or something. It really looked like him. I was like,
You think to ask Al, or are you just going to ask us?
No, I thought you would know.
I thought
of us would know.
No, I don't know. But I hope it is good for Al.
Really hope it is.
Oh, look, I'm not saying bad for Al by any stretch.
Oh, bad for Al.
Hey, where's my ad where I'm standing in a swamp?
Yeah.
That's actually what we're all feeling right now.
Standing in a swamp. Anyway, so the book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, it was a bestseller, received critical acclaim that derived in part from the American interest in French culture in the early 60s. So, like, by luck... Yeah, maybe a bit of luck, but like...
Yeah, timing.
Yeah, timing, exactly. Americans were really into French culture at the time, and she goes, oh, well, here's a book I've been working on for 10 years. Not just her, obviously, it was a team effort. But it was also lauded for its helpful illustrations and precise attention to detail and for making fine cuisine accessible. The book is still in print and is considered a seminal culinary work. Still a big deal.
Right.
So by that point, Julia is nearly 50 and her book has finally been published. And that is barely the beginning for her. In 1962, she made an appearance on a book review show on WGBH TV, which I think was in Boston. And it led to the inception of her first television cooking show after viewers enjoyed her demonstration of how to cook an omelette. So she just went on this book review show and showed people how to make an omelette, and people were like, I like her. I want to see more of her. So then they gave her own show, and it was called The French Chef, and it had its debut in February 1963 and was immediately successful. The show ran nationally for 10 years and won a Peabody and an Emmy Award, including the first Emmy Award for an educational program.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's huge. And she wasn't the first television cook, but she was the most widely seen, and people loved her because she was very cheery and enthusiastic, and she had this distinctive voice which Meryl Streep mimics pretty well, really well in the film.
She basically invented an award for her.
Been an Emmy for an educational program,
but they invented it, that didn't exist before her. That's how cool is that?
Oh yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah.
To win the first of any version of an award, yeah. I reckon that's like, maybe they didn't invent it for you, but once you win it, they prove that basically it doesn't exist without you. Because why would it if you didn't win it? Why does it exist? Oh, no. I thought I was saying something interesting.
I think you were.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, she had this very distinctive voice, and she was really unpatronizing, and she was just very cool, and she would always sign off with her catchphrase, which was, Bon appetit!
Oh, I love that.
She sounds like everything I'm not.
Unpatronizing.
Signing off with Bon appetit. I don't know any of these
things. You don't do that, no. In 1972, this is just a little fun fact, The French Chef became the first television program to be captioned for the deaf. Even though this was done, I don't know. I don't understand why I added this sentence. But anyway, that's just a little fun fact for you there.
That's sick.
So she's releasing more books as well in this time too. So she released a second book called The French Chef Cookbook, and it was a collection of recipes she demonstrated on the show. It was soon followed by Mastering the Art of French Cooking, Volume 2.
And she's still collaborating with the other French...
Oh, my God, my next sentence is again in collaboration with Simone Beck, not with Louisette.
Oh, what happened to Louisette?
Their professional relationship ended. Apparently in the film, so who knows, but in the film it sort of seemed like Louisette wasn't around as much, or she'd kind of like... She was a bit flaky. She didn't put in as much work as the other two did.
Right, but hopefully... Oh, hopefully it was on good terms. You still got a bit of payout from the first book.
Yeah, I'm sure she was fine.
Certain dishes you want flakiness, but it really depends on what you're going for.
Sometimes you just want a crunch.
Yeah. Oh, look crunch. At that. Oh, that's a beautiful crunch.
But she and Simone were, like, very good friends their whole lives.
I just watched the fourth season of Great Australian Bake Off, and on certain dishes, they're like, oh, what a beautiful crunch.
You've already said this story on this episode about 40 minutes ago.
I did not recall that in any way.
That's what I was referencing when I said crunch.
I have no recollection of that. And honestly, I think this is probably a good time to say, do not drink alcohol if you're if you're human.
Yeah, don't do it. And don't turn up to work after.
If I were to ask...
Oh, okay. That actually feels a little bit pointed.
Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
If I was to ask you right now who this episode is about, could you tell me?
Julia and Juliet. Is that not right?
That's close. I'll give you a pass.
Yeah, give one. That's all right.
But that is so, you so started good. To launch it to the story you just told.
It's hosted by Claire Hooper. Yeah, we know.
I did tell that. Oh, my God. That's real bad. About the crunch?
Yeah.
Oh, that poor Uber driver. You probably just kept talking about Ned Kelly, and he's like, what are you talking about?
And Matt's like, this guy's got some weird opinions on Ned Kelly.
I've had a look, and it was an expensive Uber drive. So
he just drove you around.
I was in
that
car for a long time. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry for everyone, especially the people listening. Really, only the people listening.
Yeah, that's okay.
Jess and Dave will forgive me, but for the listeners...
I'm getting there.
I'm having a good time. She's a very interesting lady.
Yeah, and
Julia or Juliet.
I couldn't even get everything in there. Like, she's just given awards, and she releases so many books. Yes?
I just wanted to say, I'm sure there's probably American listeners who are like, I can't believe, because I've only heard the name. I wouldn't even recognize a photo of her.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's people that are like, how could you not know her? But
of course.
For me, not growing up in that generation and not growing up in the country where she's super famous, I knew nothing really about her.
Oh, right. Yeah. So she's a famous American person.
Yeah. Hugely famous in America.
She's like huge over there, apparently.
She's adored. So I wasn't super surprised that she was chosen in the Patreon.
Right. I assumed she was a famous French person, but...
No, she's American.
She's American. She's famous for bringing the French stuff back.
Yeah.
And then making it accessible.
And you probably mentioned that at some point tonight.
Yeah, at the start. So her second book was called The French Chef Cookbook. Oh, no, I've already said that one. Her fourth book.
Honestly, Jess.
Yes.
Don't repeat yourself.
Sorry, mate.
That's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
Oh, that's good.
Her fourth book was From Julia Child's Kitchen, and it was illustrated by her husband with photographs and documentation. What's wrong?
Just dropped his phone.
Oh, that's okay. That'll be all right. She's used her husband's photos to illustrate the book.
That's nice that he took the photos.
Yeah. So he was always taking photos and sketching things for her, and he was an excellent supporter.
They sound like a great couple.
I reckon they're couple's goals.
They sound sick.
Do you have any idea what happened to Charlie Child?
No, I'm not sure about Charlie.
Because I was really rooting against him, and should I have been? He did blind his brother.
Yeah, no. Well,
and was favoured, but that's not his fault.
No, but to be fair, I read one article that mentioned him, and it was an article that sort of focused on the marriage between Julia and Paul and how they were a really nice, like, couple and very supportive of each other, a real unit. And it talked about Charlie and how Julia didn't particularly like him because he was just, like, he was antagonistic. He was always kind of like... Even in letters, and Paul wrote heaps of letters to Julia and to Charlie. And in all the letters, like, Paul's kind of like offering advice on things, or like, because Charlie was a painter, even though Paul was probably more talented, this article said. And so Paul would sort of be like, oh, you could do this. But like, Charlie was always just talking about himself. It sounds like he was a little bit of a dick.
Right. Okay, good.
But he's long dead now.
I'm actually feeling pretty attacked right now.
Why?
Is this about me?
You are not a painter, nor is your name Charlie.
How dare you?
Anyway, so she's become this household name. Like we were just talking about, people adore her. It was the 60s and her show was unedited, so any mistakes or blunders were shown, which made people relate to her because she was authentic and she was real.
She frequently set fire to the house.
And you're like, ah, well. But no, if she didn't
that
flip something.
That sounds cool. I love that. I love a show that doesn't edit. Just show us all the fucking...
The
peaks and troughs, the ups and downs.
If she tried to flip something and it didn't flip perfectly, she was like, that's okay.
I love it. I love the idea that there's another show where they're like, nope, well, let's flip it again.
So in the 70s and 80s, she was a star of numerous television programs, including Julia Child and Company, Julia Child and More Company, Dinner at Julia's. And for the 1979 book Julia Child and More Company, she won a National Book Award in the category of Current Interests. She's winning awards left, right and centre. It's insane.
Current Interests is one of the big book awards as well. Is that right, Dave? You're a book man.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
She went on to publish nearly 20 titles under her name and with others. 20 books, and she started at 50.
That is, I mean, the first
she started at 50 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, there's hope.
Yeah.
Well, I feel that's
for old people.
She didn't even start cooking until she was in her 30s.
Yeah. And then she became
this
huge...
the most famous cook in the country.
Dave, how long till you're 30?
We've talked about that as well on this episode.
Six months. And a bit months.
Six and a half months.
Are you really that far away?
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I reckon you can do it.
I reckon you can start cooking.
She was like early to mid 30s. You can do it.
I mean, she became the like influential and famous. I just like the idea, not necessarily cooking, but that there might be something else that I don't even know that I could do.
Yeah.
That would become my passion, like fashion, for example.
Yeah.
Passion, like fashion.
Or judo or something, you know? I could become the world's best.
Like schnudo. All right, we can all rhyme, Dave.
Yes, I become the world's best rhymer. Give me a word, I'll rhyme it. Any word, go.
Grime.
Time. All right, needs word.
Philanthropathy.
Gillian Mopperly.
Hey, got you. You thought you had him there and he fucking got you.
Well, I.
Do you feel stupid?
The word I said wasn't real.
Do you feel stupid?
Did I say a real word?
Philanthropathy is what you
said. I feel like I added an extra syllable.
Here's one thing you might be able to relate to, I don't know. One thing that Julia loved most was butter.
Oh, okay. I do like butter.
Butter. I love butter.
I like butter.
Was mad for butter.
I love butter.
And her use of ingredients like butter and cream has been questioned by food critics and modern day nutritionists.
Oh,
she
piss
goes
off.
Heavy
piss,
on the butter.
Piss off.
Heavy on butter and cream.
Ugh.
But in an interview in 1990, she said, ugh, everyone's overreacting. If fear of food continues, it'll be the death of gastronomy in the United States. Fortunately, the French don't suffer from the same hysteria that we do. We should enjoy food and have fun. It's one of the simplest and nicest pleasures in life.
Preach, Julia.
Isn't that good?
Preach.
But also in moderation, guys.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like she's making these extravagant French desserts, perhaps. You don't need to eat that
every
four
day.
Or five times a day.
No, but when you put the effort in or someone makes it and it's fucking delicious,
yes.
Enjoy a bit of it. Enjoy, it's all right.
Enjoy the creamy goodness.
Yum. So she loves butter. In the 80s, she had a regular segment on Good Morning America, and she even travelled to Italy to do a 5-part series on Italian food for the show's audience. The show received over 100,000 letters about this segment she did. They were mad for it.
Wow.
They loved her, and they loved her on GMA. In 1991, she worked with the Boston University to launch a Masters of Liberal Arts degree in gastronomy. And in 1993, she was inducted into the Culinary Institute of America's Hall of Fame, the first woman to ever be inducted in 1993.
Wow, she's pretty old by that
stage,
in her 80s.
Yeah, she's in her 80s. And in 1994, sadly, her husband Paul passed away at the age of 92.
Great work, Paul.
Good on you, Paul.
So they had 50 good years together.
Yeah. And in one of her cookbooks, the French Chef cookbook, she summed up her relationship with Paul, and she said this. She said, Paul Child, the man who is always there, porter, dishwasher, official photographer, mushroom dicer and onion chopper, editor, fish illustrator, manager, taster.
Fish illustrator.
Yeah, he drew the fish. Idea man, resident poet and husband.
That is great. And
that's
that
nice?
The longest business card I've ever read.
He does it all.
And I like how she left... husband to last.
That's the most important. Best for last.
Oh, I thought you leave the least important to last.
That's how the French do it. Best for last.
Best for last. Don't you, when you're eating a meal, don't you save a little bit of your favorite?
Yeah, I always say rigatoni, lasagna, sauce, mushrooms, saute, bit of spinach on the side, husband. That's how I always describe my dish.
I was talking about when you eat a meal. How often are you describing dishes?
All the time.
Yeah, that's true. You do that a little, actually.
I'm always describing it. I'm always eating my husband last.
Okay, everyone hang on. Maddie, you're doing so well. We are in the final few minutes.
Final throws.
Final throws.
Of your life.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking kill you. In the year 2000, Julia Child received the French Legion of Honour.
Still alive.
Still alive.
Wow.
She was awarded the US Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2003. She received honorary doctorates from Harvard University, Johnson and Wales University, Smith College, Brown University, and several others.
She got another one from Smith.
Smith. That's the thing that was probably referenced earlier, the way that talked about it.
You were fascinated by it, mate.
I love the idea of Smith, and I obviously
love the idea. She was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame in 2007.
There's a Women's Hall of Fame?
Yeah, we need a separate one.
As a feminist,
yes. But where are the famous women?
Yeah, but is there a men's hall of, like, you know, it's usually specific, like there's a sports person.
Very good, Dave. Where's the men's hall of fame? I agree with Dave.
You'll have a
what about us?
You'll have a rock and roll hall of fame. But is there,
no, honestly, Dave should be cancelled.
Is there one? It's just for women of all fields.
Women, the Women's Hall of Fame.
The Women's Hall of Fame. That's fun.
I've never heard of it.
I want to look this up. Looking it up. It's an American institution created in 1969.
The Summer of Love.
In New York. Anyway.
There you go. I'm sure, because she's also in the Culinary Hall of Fame. You said she was the first woman in the
Gastronomy. No, sorry. The Women's Culinary Hall of Fame.
And she was the first woman in that as well.
She's the only one. On August 13, 2004... Julia Child died of kidney failure in Montecito, California, 2 days before her 92nd birthday.
Oh, well, so great work.
Good innings.
All good things must come to an end.
That's true. Very well spoken.
And her last meal was one of her favorite dishes. French onion soup.
Oh, that sounds real yuck.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
With lots of butter?
Probably.
But when you're 92.
Yeah, you got to suck it down.
Could I get one that is edible with a straw?
Yeah. Gotta take my teeth out.
The same as for breakfast and lunch and dinner.
For the first time in a very long time, I've added some fun facts.
Oh, I'm really excited.
I haven't done this in yonks. I don't know how fun they are.
I love fun facts. Well, as always, Jess will decide.
It's my fault.
And in my stead will be Jess. Me.
You will be Jess.
In your stead.
In my stead.
You're going to be
Jess.
We'll
be Jess.
Okay.
Me.
So she loved butter so much that there was a butter yellow rose variety named after her.
Yes.
It's a rose that's like a yellowy colour.
That
and
is
named
fun.
It the Julia Child.
Oh,
rose.
I'm having fun with this. That is so good. When you're saying this person that you've probably been talking about for what, an hour, I guess, has she been the subject?
Yes.
Well, my goodness me, what a fun fact. That is great. No, honestly, that is a really fun fact.
Here's another one. Her kitchen, which was used as a set for three of her cooking shows, was donated and is now on display at the National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C.
That is a fun fact. I'm having so much fun. I can't even believe it. I want to fake it, but I can't. I'm having fun.
Oh, my God. I feel so good about this. One more. The 2009 film Julie and Julia, which we've talked about, was based on two books. It was based on Julia Child's memoir, My Life in France, and a book written by Julie Powell, Julie and Julia, My Year of Cooking Dangerously. The success of this film, combined with the tied-in reissue of the 40th anniversary edition, caused Mastering the Art of French Cooking to once again become a bestseller in the United States 48 years after its initial release.
Honestly, that is fucking making me feel so happy. I feel like I'm having the most fun I've had in my whole life. Throw me a bloody fun ball because I want to juggle it. That's how much fun I'm having. I want to juggle a fun ball.
Can we get a fun ball in here?
Get a fun ball over here.
Get this man a fun ball. Get this man a fun ball.
That's sick. That, three of the funnest facts I've ever heard.
Three fun facts. I fucking did it. Honestly, knew I could?
I mean, the report was so fun, let alone the facts.
Yeah.
honestly, that is so sick. I love everything about it.
Who do you love? Who was that about?
Julia and Julia. I thought it was a great report about two, and especially one of the best French and American cuisinists of all time.
Well, that was my report on Julia.
Great
Child.
Work, Jess. That was so honestly impressive that you could get through that.
Like having that much fun. That was genuinely so much fun.
We did
and,
it.
I've been watching The Greatest Show. And at one point they talked about Crunch. I said that and the Crunch thing.
The full story.
Oh my
the
God.
Full story.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard. Can you edit it out?
Absolutely not. I don't know how I could.
That's the funniest part of the whole show.
I was mid something important and you felt the need to bring up Crunch again.
I was certain you were making a reference
I'm
to
I'm so
you.
Sorry, but can you understand that my team lost the Super Bowl?
Aww.
And a bowl is what you eat out of. I guess.
The Super Bowl of French soup, her final meal.
Onion. Honestly, that was real great.
It's beautiful.
Even, the best thing about it, I wish, and I really thought coming into this room that the best thing about it was going to be that you're wearing the same jumper. But it wasn't. Your report was even better than that.
We're happy to help. But hey, I think for this week, because it's time for everybody's favourite part of the show.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
Mate.
It's our Patreon section of the show. Now, people support the show on Patreon. It really does keep it going and makes sure it comes out every week. Rain, hail, or alcoholic shine.
You said it makes it come. You said it makes it come,
No,
Dave.
They make it come.
Because we were actually meant to record this a few days ago.
Yes.
And we somehow fucked it up.
We fucked up.
We didn't have the tools to do it. And now I had to do it on Super Bowl day, which was not meant to be how it was going to go.
Look, our job doesn't require a lot of equipment.
Okay, thank you.
But
finally,
but we
someone
fucked it
said
up.
It.
We fucked it up. We fucked up the equipment we had.
Isn't it weird that I was not meant to be here now? And in a lot of ways, we're all laughing and Matt being a bit of a fuckhead. But he wasn't actually meant to do this. He'd planned his whole day around not being here. He was meant to be in bed or something better. So all I want to say is that we're all having a good time and it's great to be here.
And it's time for everyone's favourite part of the show.
That's right. People support the show on Patreon, and if they do that, you can get a whole bunch of rewards.
Oh, my goodness.
There's two bonus episodes that come out every month that only those people here. You get to vote for the topics, steer what the show is going to be all about. There's a Facebook group where people chat about stuff. There's a lot of rewards.
I very infrequently put out a newsletter.
That's right.
Oh, you do. Jess actually weekly, ideally, puts out a newsletter.
It hasn't been weekly for a while.
I think a lot of that was the Christmas/summer holidays. But I think normally you put it out weekly.
I get there.
I reckon the last few months has been a bit, it's been full on for everyone. Jesus' birth,
me especially.
But you're not only supporting Dugon, you're also supporting Dave. And I was on Dave's podcast this week, and it felt so good to be on there.
It was great to have you on, and you hadn't had a single thing to drink.
What was that like?
It was
boring, actually.
Yeah. It was a really fun episode. So Matt was on with Cast My Show's Book Cheat, where I tell them about a famous book, and it was part one and two of three. Of Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh.
Which is also, going to be about episode 40? So you've talked about a lot of classic books.
Yeah, that's right. So you can check that out. And you're also supporting Matt's show's Primates, where he talks about primates in popular culture.
Yes, which the most recent episode was about the Star Wars miniseries The Mandalorian, which is a lot of fun. I love that series. It was actually the first time that we had, of all four of us on the show, we all gave it a perfect score.
Whoa!
It was I was surprised by that because I loved it. Obviously, I gave it a perfect score, but I was surprised that everyone, it was unanimously loved. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great.
And I do another show about rock and roll music, if you like rock. And a couple of the nerds in this room probably don't, but
we love salmon jumpers.
And
a couple
jazz.
Of salmon heads. But I love rock, and we do a show with my cousin Sam about rock and roll music called Listen Now. The first season was about Cold Chisel, probably the rockinest band of all time.
Yeah, probably. But anyway, one of the things you get to do at a certain level is submit a fact, a quote, or a question.
That's right, and we read it out, and those people give us their name, and then they also give themselves a title.
Yes.
But we also read out. Jess, do you want to do one and I'll do another one? Usually
Thank
it's Matt's,
you so much for
usually
taking
it's Matt's job, but we're taking the role away from him.
Yeah, we'll take that away. Yeah, go for it. Do
I
you
was
want to
wondering
pick it up?
Why you were actually taking the computer out of my hands.
Yeah.
But I now that I know what you were doing, I appreciate
Makes
it.
Makes sense.
All right, our first fact, quote, or question of this week is Karen Loder.
Karen Loder.
Great name there, Karen. And Karen has given themselves the name, or the nickname, the title, the Sydney Sheinberg Apparition Club President / Treasurer.
Oh, fantastic nickname. I already love Karen Loder. Is
it's a great name.
So good.
That sounds like a rock name.
Yeah, Karen Loder.
Front woman of a band, yeah. Karen Loder.
Karen Loder and the Mignettes.
Yeah, playing guitar and singing.
Yeah.
Karen Loder. Love it. So thanks, Karen Loder, Sydney Sheinberg Apparition Club President / Treasurer, and she has given us a question.
Why did you not think that Mignettes was a weird thing to say? I can't let that go. Like, everyone's listening going, oh, everyone thought that was a good thing to say. It wasn't. All right, now let's move on.
We've got a question from Karen, and in true Matt fashion, I actually haven't read this in advance, so here we go. The question for us from Karen is, what is the one thing that people do that really pisses you off when in public? Well.
Oh, okay. Well, let's not make this about me, just in case.
Well, Matt's been doing a bit of it. I hate when people spit in public. He spat to a bit. You're not in public, though. It's not that bad. I find that to be absolutely.
That is actually really gross.
It is horrific.
I would never do that.
I just hate it when people are walking on the footpath and just stop. Or walking in like the middle of a shopping center and they just stop and like look at their phone or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, pull over!
Put the indicator on. Pull over.
Move over!
I was driving today through an area.
You were driving?
This morning at the very beginning of the day, pre-Super Bowl.
Yes.
And there was just a car in front of me that was just, I mean, this isn't, I can't remember what the question was.
What pisses you off?
But it was the car in front of me just started meandering, like hoping that someone would open up a car park. It's like, arsehole, pull over.
Yeah.
Or keep driving, one of the two.
Yeah, very frustrating.
So what a clown. What is this, a clown car?
When people don't say thank you in the car, when they don't give you a little wave and you let them in.
My biggest
fuck you.
You could have scraped my car, ripped off my wing mirror and told me to go fuck myself. But at the end, if you'd give me a wave and said thanks, I'd be like, you are forgiven. I love you.
Yeah, big time.
I will forgive any behavior if you give a wave. But even if I let you in and you don't thank me, I do wish death upon you. I get really angry in that moment.
Yeah, big time.
We're real bad people.
Yeah.
If that was your question, yeah, you're right. We're bad people.
What makes you sound like a bad person on this podcast?
Correct.
But thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
What pisses you off, Karen?
Let us know.
Tell us, Karen. Karen, tell us on one of the because if you're on the what's the thing we're talking about?
Patreon,
you get it on the Facebook group.
Yep.
Also on the Patreon group. Tell us on one of those, Karen.
I
love your name. I honestly, Karen is a name that sometimes gets made fun of. I love Karen as a name. It's a sick name.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it. What's her surname?
Loder.
Person. I love Karen Person. A fantastic name. Karen Loder is even better.
Here's another name you'll love as well, though, because I'm going to read one as well. And this week, it's from Soph Waldron.
Oh, I love Soph Waldron as
well. We love Soph.
I went and saw a band called Cold Chisel with Soph Waldron.
You did.
Never heard of them.
I was actually probably more drunk than this.
Wow.
And
You walked in, you said you've never been this drunk.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, that was a lie.
I haven't been this drunk for so long. And how long ago was that gig? Like two, three weekends ago.
I should have said on a Monday morning.
There we go. So Soph's title, she goes, I'm sticking with unofficial photographer of the live shows because I can't think of anything.
Well, that's good because Soph has been possibly to more live shows than any other person on this earth.
Yeah, I reckon that might be right. She's got to be up there.
And is always very friendly, loves to have a chat with us at the end. We love to have a chat to Soph as well. And because she's so friendly, other people see her and ask, hey, will you take a photo of us?
Yeah, she's always the one taking the photos.
She looks trustworthy.
We appreciate it. We love you. So Soph has gone for a quote.
I love a quote. And there's no more work to be done by me.
I also haven't read this. So,
and I also don't have to talk about Jess or Dave's identical salmon sweaters.
I've never known alcohol to give someone colour blindness.
All right, yours is rusty, yours is orange.
This is orange.
Very similar. We need to take a photo and post it. It's close enough to be the same, basically. It's in the same world.
So this quote from Soph is there is no iron in the iron you use to iron your shirts, which is, ironically, both ironic and unironic. And that quote was from Jeremy Irons.
Oh, my God. Who played Scar in...
So I was going to be so disappointed because she added, I have no idea if he actually said that, but the idea of making Matt read this out without practicing in advance was too entertaining not to do it.
Sorry.
So if he was too shit-faced to do
it. Let me read it.
No, we just don't have time. I don't want you throwing up on my laptop.
I need to say Jeremy's iron.
That's fantastic, Soph. Really I read it in my mind, even if Jess didn't let me read it out loud.
We also have to thank some people.
I'm Jeremy Irons. That's my impersonation of him.
That's pretty good, I think.
I'm Scar. I'm an English man and a lion. I didn't really change my voice there.
No.
Could you do that in post?
Yes.
Thank you.
So finally, what we like to do as well is just give a shout out to some people who support us on Patreon, which you can do at patreon.com/dogoonpod. Is that right?
Absolutely. And we usually play a game that you come up with, Jess.
Oh, yeah.
To sort of read out the people's names and then give them a little nickname or something. What do you think?
Should we name their cookbook?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah. I love it.
Okay, great. Easy. Do you want to kick things off, Dave?
I'd love to kick things off. Now, first of all, I would like to thank all the way from an unknown address. I have not trusted us with their address, but thank you so much for your support anyway. Christina Nitschke.
Christina Nitschke.
Love the name, Christina. I'm not sure where you are in the world, but appreciate you supporting the show. Christina Nitschke. All right, Christina Nitschke's cookbook. The Spanish Handbag.
Oh, fantastic. Love that.
The Spanish Handbag.
Spanish Handbag.
I love that. What's the theme?
Spanish food.
Yes.
And it's all dishes.
Yep.
That have things inside them.
Oh, I love that. That's
like a croquette, yes! Or like a pie.
Yep. Yep.
These are my favorite things.
How's Nitschke spelled? It's not like Nietzsche.
Nitschke.
Right.
I think Dave nailed it.
Because all I can think of is the Tism song about Nietzsche, which is something like, wish I could remember. It was one of their early demos, but it's called something like Went and Saw a Nietzsche Double Feature.
Oh.
Is it like that?
Yes.
Does that help?
Yep.
We can work it in.
Yeah, we'll work it in post. Thank you, Christina. I'd also like to thank, this time from Glasgow, fantastic part of the world that we were in not that long ago, Niall Adam Dixon.
Okay. N-A-D.
You know who was born Nats. There? Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly.
And also Jimmy Barnes, previous topic of the show.
Yes. Well, N-A-D, Niall Adam Dixon, what do you think for a cookbook?
I would say, based on the fact that he's from the place that Jimmy Barnes is from, I'd call it... Oh, I really wish I could have nailed that scream because that made it sound like I was making fun of him.
That would look really good on the title of a book cover, too.
I'm so sorry, Jimmy. I actually thought I was going to nail that
scream. What about just the Screaming Cowboy Cookbook?
Oh, Screaming Cowboy Cookbook. Oh, that Thank is you, good. Jess. Thanks for saving.
What about a culinary guide through the Wild Wild West after that? That's the Screaming Cowboy Cookbook, a culinary guide through the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. You've nailed it.
I think Nad should make this.
Nad's going to make it. Are we doing, should we thank two people each or do you want to go for three?
We'll do three each.
Okay. I won't get
it.
You're on.
No, you're not getting
it. Am I honestly, you've actually not letting me look at the.
No.
Okay.
Dave, take it away.
One more person for me this week. I'd like to thank from Melbourne right here in Victoria. Can you see why we've taken it away from you? Rowan Hitchcock.
Rowan Hitchcock. Oh,
I love the cock.
Okay, what about some kind of Hitchcock film?
The 39 Steps to Making Meals.
The birds. eat the birds.
Feed the birds.
Tuppence a bag. Tuppence a bag.
Beautiful.
Plenty of options there.
So, yeah, enjoy that.
Rowan Hitchcock, a pleasure to have you on the Patreon. And maybe we're doing our shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival coming up soon. Maybe we'll see you there, Rowan. JP, would you like to thank a few people?
I would. I would like to thank a good friend of ours from Leicester in the UK, our photographer friend.
Fuck off.
Yeah, what? It's Liam.
Kewen.
Liam.
I love this man so much.
It's a great man.
Isn't it weird that a photographer is hotter than everyone else?
It's crazy.
Get in front.
Hey, don't objectify him though.
Sorry,
he's
honestly
a lovely person.
Honestly a great photographer. And it doesn't even matter that he's hot.
Doesn't matter. Define you.
Doesn't matter.
And a nice guy too.
It doesn't matter that he's nice and I'd love to hang out with him all the time and look at him. It doesn't even matter in that way.
Would you like to go surfing with him?
I'd go surfing with him easy. I'd hang 10,
all
hang
right.
5.
So what would Liam's cookbook be called?
It'd be like a photography-based one, wouldn't it? Like pictures of meals.
Oh, yes. Which is honestly the best part of cookbooks.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Looking at it and going, mine will never look that good.
No,
what I think when I look at his face.
Something like hot food nude.
Hot nude food. Hot nude food.
Tastefully hot nude food.
Hot nudes. And then food is in much smaller print.
Because that's the one thing about him, and I think we found it when he photographed us.
Yes.
It's very tasteful.
Oh, our nudity was so tasteful.
Yeah,
you could barely even tell.
At first I'm like, what? Do I need to be nude backstage here or
on
stage?
He was like, trust the process.
And I said, okay, as long
as it's tasteful. By the end of the night, I felt it was weird when I was putting my clothes back on.
Yeah.
Felt unnatural.
I still feel weird to put clothes on. And I certainly feel weird watching you wearing salmon knits.
So people are going to be so disappointed.
I would never wear salmon. Just putting that on the record.
Rust knit, salmon knit.
You've talked about it
so
much.
It's wild the fact that you're wearing basically the same top.
It is crazy. You know what else is crazy? Our love for Liam. Thank you, Liam.
Thank you, Liam.
I'd also love to thank...
that was actually the best I've ever heard.
Thank you so much. From Box Hill North here in Victoria, I would love to thank Ruby O'Day.
Oh, that's a great name.
That's a great one.
Love the name Ruby.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Box Hill Hawks, one of the state-based footy teams.
Yeah. What about Ruby? Okay, what for Ruby? Ruby Murray, and it's a book entirely about curries. Because Ruby Murray is rhyming slang for curry.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I love that.
It's a curry cookbook called Ruby Murray.
Ruby Murray. And it's also, and that book is in a cube.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
On display.
Rubik's.
Thank you for showing your working out there.
Rubik's.
Yeah. I'm going to show the working out. Ruby.
Thank you, Ruby.
Ruby, have a Ruby Murray.
I love
on
it.
On the house.
I actually can't wait to do a curry now.
Yeah.
What's your favourite curry?
Massaman.
Oh, you're a Massaman fan. Fair enough.
Love a Massaman.
What's the one that we sometimes get where it's like a creamy ball of potato? Like
yours is.
It's like a gobi
spicy
or something.
Veggies. I know what you're like. You need all the words to be in English.
You can't handle
the
spicy.
I love
like
a dal.
Oh yeah, dal fan.
What's the one? It's like
called. Former?
No, it's called like a gobi or something like that.
Yeah, gobies are good.
Gobby. You love gobbies.
I love gobbies.
You love gobbies.
Put me down for one. Nope, two.
I'm a big gobby fan. But no, I am dals. I'm a big dal fan too.
Dals, let me tell you.
Toots, let me tell you. Hey, I've got two more people to thank by the looks of this next entry. Again, no record of where they're from, so we can only guess. But I would love to thank...
I reckon Bermuda.
Cameron Bass.
Oh.
And
Bass
Nick,
and the Plus.
Nick McLean.
Oh, right.
How are they a combo and why?
I don't know. I don't fucking make the rules. That's just how they wrote their name on Patreon.
Could be Cameron Bass as well.
Could be Bass or Bass. Hard to know.
Cameron Bass and the Place London. I love that.
Because there's been a few good cooking duos. I remember in the 90s enjoying Two Fat Ladies.
Julia and Julius.
Yep.
Do you remember Two Fat Ladies?
Yeah.
Go around on their bikes.
And what about the biker, the hairy biker combo?
Oh, yeah.
What are they called? The hairy biker bros?
Hairy bikers? I don't know.
And then there's Surfy Aussie bros.
So you're thinking these two are a fun duo?
A duo.
Yeah.
Do
you think the three of us could be a cool cooking duo?
No. Yeah. Dave can't cook.
Yeah, that's why you're a good
duo. That's right, yeah. Well, oh, Dave, yeah, okay. Dave would be the front.
Can you make cocktails or something?
I'll do the washing up.
We're in the back being fun, and Dave's in the front being hot. Yeah.
Why can't I be the hot one?
Well, on YouTube recently, two people said Dave's hot. And normally everyone else says we're annoying. So when they said he was hot, I'm like, what's going on?
Some positive comments.
Matt screenshotted it and sent it to our group chat. Was like, check this out.
It made me feel good.
It was very exciting.
I felt good too. They said I was hot.
Well, I already knew it. You're a hot man. You probably don't see it because you're always looking at me. Yeah. But you are hot.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much. What about this duo, this fantastic Cameron Bass and Nick McLean?
Oh.
All right, should we go for a word association?
Yeah, word association. Yeah, okay. Matt's going last.
Okay.
I mean, Bass is already a fish. McLean is already what you do at the end of a cooking
session.
I'll
set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Jess says a word, Matt says a word.
Yep. Okay.
The two...
Fresh...
Heads.
The two fresh heads. That's pretty good.
They are. If you look at them, they are too. Real fresh heads.
Yeah. Oh, God. Look at those fresh heads. A couple of fresh heads on them.
I'm glad the word I said was a real word.
Hads.
It really
is. Hads.
I'm glad that you saved it.
Yeah.
I saved it with an interpretation.
You molded it into a word. Thank you. It's a team effort. Hads.
Just like the team effort from Cameron Bass and Nick McLean. Thanks for supporting the show on Patreon and all the people that do. It makes our lives a lot easier. We can do it every week because of you. And if you want to join the club, again, it's patreon.com/dogoonpod.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can go to our website, dogoonpod.com, where you can buy T-shirts and pins that are on sale now.
And the big finale, well, I mean, pretty much ends the show, but is there anyone to induct into the Triptych Club?
I don't know, because where is that?
We'll work that out next week. Don't worry about it.
We'll do it next week. Okay, great. Let's do it next week.
Fantastic. Well, don't you worry about
more
it.
People next
everyone,
week.
Sit on the edge of your seats.
It's
exciting.
It could be you.
Did you support Patreon
three years ago?
Because it could be you.
Well, thank you so much for listening to us talk this week. Hey, we got there.
As we do every week.
The fact that you two couldn't figure that out makes me feel almost worthwhile.
And if you're still listening
to this. Can't figure out your fucking tabs in this Google Doc.
Hey, mate, I'd tab it up. All right.
But yeah.
We will be back next week, probably with a more sober episode. But hey, every now and then, it's been a while since we've had a drunk one, and people have been requesting it. So let us know. What did you think?
How tedious was it?
Yeah, if you hated it, probably don't. Yeah, actually, we know.
I wanted to put a caveat there saying only let us know if it's positive, if you loved it.
Yeah, if you hate it, it's all right.
I love to live in a happy place. I only ever want positive feedback.
That's fine. Jess did too.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. And until next week, we'll say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.